intelligent automation design for Simra Biomet. We're ready when you are. I'll just say that, as I mentioned earlier, this is our second means plus function case of the day. And just for people who haven't read the briefs, that notably the last case came out of the district court in Colorado, and this case comes out of the district court in Florida. So a lot of district court judges have been educated recently on means plus function. Please proceed.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. I want to thank Dallas for holding the oral argument here. It was a much easier trip from Houston for me than it would be to go to D.C., so I appreciate that.
It was purely accidental.
My name is John Holman. I'm here representing appellate intelligent automation design on an appeal from the Middle District of Florida, where the district court found all claims of the 683 patent invalid for failing to disclose adequate structure in a specification for two means plus function claim terms.
Can I just ask you something about the way this whole case went down? You've got two different claims. One's a method claim and one's an apparatus claim. And there's some distinctions perhaps to be drawn between those two. Now, I know below, I recall that you were arguing that at least claim one was not a means plus function claim at all, and then making a sort of different argument for six. And here on appeal, I just want to confirm, you seem to have abandoned the argument that claim one is not means plus function at all, and just for maybe reasons that make a lot of sense, putting all your eggs in the no structure, not sufficient structure, the sufficient structure issue. Am I right about the way I'm seeing this case?
Your Honor, I believe you're correct with that. The arguments presented up here on appeal with respect to claim one is not that the claim itself is not subject to means plus function requirements. However, claim six, as you noted, does incorporate a control circuit in front of the term determining a time when the torque reaches maximum. And the lower district court all but glossed over that term being added to the element itself, which and we would submit that would avoid the application of a means plus function requirements. At the very least, we weren't allowed or weren't given the presumption that the term a control circuit for determining the time when the torque reaches a maximum, we weren't allowed to have the presumption that that term itself was not subject to means plus function.
Is a control circuit a nonce word? Have we said that that triggers the invocation of means plus function?
A circuit. There is a case, Linear Tech versus Impala Linear, that has held. This court has held that the term circuit, when associated with an identifier that gives some connotation of structure, is sufficient to avoid means plus function.
Sure, but when it's a control circuit that then is followed by purely functional language that doesn't seem to identify much more than a generic nonce word. It doesn't say what kind of circuit. It says it's almost substituting a circuit for the word means, but doesn't do anything more.
Well, Your Honor, I respectfully disagree on that point in that
we can come back to this if you want, but I because our time isn't very long, let's just assume the district court is right, that you have I think, some substantial arguments about why, even if it is means plus function, there's sufficient structure here to show how all that's performed. There's sufficient algorithms. Can you address the problem I have with this case is this control circuit clause is one of the worst written patent clauses I've ever seen. It has all these follow-on phrases and clauses that's almost incomprehensible. But can you explain to me why this has sufficient structure and sufficient algorithms in the specification that even if it is 112F, it's still definite?
Yes, absolutely.
And let me follow on to that because it this is a companion question. At the red brief at 56 and 57, Biomet says that even if we determine that the steps in the specification amount to an algorithm, there are additional factual questions that needed to be addressed, but were not. And those questions were, first, whether the disclosed algorithm can perform the function, and two, whether a person's skill would determine the algorithm is sufficient to define the structure. When you're answering Judge Hughes, tell me if you agree that those questions need to be addressed, and if so, where in the record they are addressed, and whether you rebutted the Biomet's expert testimony in that area.
Okay, to begin, the question of whether or not the sufficient structure and the form of an algorithm in the specification can be answered on, let's see if I can find the appendix page to make it easier to find. Appendix page 29, beginning around line, that's column 3, line 5, 6, excuse me.
We're just talking about the patent, so what column, which of
column 3, excuse me, line 6, it's appendix page 29. This paragraph goes at a step-by-step approach to lay out the structures that would be performed in the microprocessor to determine the time when the torque reaches a maximum. And I think there's some context to be put in there. In order to determine the maximum, you have this torque as you're detecting along the way, as you're drilling the screw into a structure. That torque is there's highs and lows, peaks and valleys. You've got to average all of that. And as you're detecting a new value, comparing it to an old value, the only time you can tell that you've reached the maximum torque is when you have a negative turndown. And that tells you you've hit the peak. So in order to determine when the torque has reached the maximum, you have to incorporate each of these steps. And these steps are the algorithms that a microprocessor performs in determining the time when the torque reaches the maximum. Now, as far as the underlying factual evidence supporting that whether or not this algorithm is adequate to satisfy the 112 paragraph 6 requirements, I think that's a good question because the court did not do that analysis. Did not cite to any underlying factual issues to support that. It merely took a step further acknowledging this algorithm, the steps in the specification, and went on to say that it does not understand how this algorithm can be translated into a formula, essentially adding a step in an analysis that doesn't exist.
So was yours a legal argument that the wrong test was applied by the district court clause on additional feature not required by our case law, which is that it be translated into a formula?
Yes, Your Honor. The district court required, at least in the opinion, that it did not state that it did not understand how this could be translated into a formula, which is not in my research. I've not found any cases that require an algorithm to be translated into a formula.
It can be in words. It doesn't
have to
be in mathematical.
It can be in flow charts. It can be in mathematical formulas, as we have one in this particular case.
Well, can you, maybe this is in too much detail, but again, I find these words in this claim difficult. Can you just go through them and tell me where their specific structure in terms of each phrase? And whether that's disputed or not. Like, the first one is detecting the torque of the motor. I assume that that's not disputed, that there's structure there, because it's a measurement of...
Right, so detecting a torque is a measurement of the current has a voltage across a resistor. And the reason why I use the voltage is corresponding to the torque. And so we use that as a torque value.
Do you think that's disputed, that that's sufficient, a sufficient algorithm to describe detecting the torque of the motor?
Your Honor, detecting a torque of the motor was not, I don't recall the disputed term.
Can you go into the next one, the average means for determining an average value versus a function of the current value in the new
value? Yes, Your Honor.
That's gobbledygook to me, but is there an algorithm for that?
Yes, Your Honor. There is an agreed mathematical algorithm in the specification.
So that's not disputed either, that there's an algorithm or structure for that?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And then the next one, is the next one the key determining a time when the torque reaches a maximum, thereby determining the optimum point of grip?
So that is the disputed term, Your Honor, Peel. That term is the one where I identified in column 3, beginning of line 5, that describes how you determine the maximum or the time when the torque reaches a maximum. But it also has to incorporate, using the VI word here in the claim, the average means formula. It requires more than just one set of instructions or one set of algorithm steps. It incorporates multiple steps, as is shown in the specification.
And in our
brief throughout both of appellate's briefs.
Where in Judge Davis's opinion did he say that he was unable to locate?
The appendix, page 22, Your Honor, beginning at the top line, comparing plans, claimed algorithm, and probe, with the 683 patent language appears to lead at most, the conclusion that the steps plaintiff lists are supported by the patent language. However, it remains unclear how this language can be translated into a formula from which the optimum point of grip can be detected.
So even if we agree with you on the lead that the district court applied the wrong standard, do we need to remand, or can we decide to resolve it on this record as to the sufficiency of the structure?
I believe that if this being a purely legal question, and this is a review of the legal analysis performed by the lower court, this court can itself determine whether or not this algorithm is sufficient adequate structure for determining time when a torque reaches a maximum.
You're into your rebuttal, so why don't we have to be out here on the other side.
Hey, please, the court. Ken Wagner on behalf of the Appellee Biomed Microfixation. The district court's judgment in this case should be affirmed because the asserted claims of the 683 patent all contain computer implemented means plus function terms that are unsupported by a disclosed algorithm.
In the blue brief at 17, IAD argues that the district court erred in combining two distinct means plus function limitations into one. Do you disagree with that?
Yes, we disagree. We think the means plus function term is stated here as an average means. It expressly uses means. And the function that we're fighting about is this function of determining a time when torque reaches a maximum, which is expressly linked to the average means with the linking term by. That linkage is so clear that IED is now not disputing it with respect to claim 1, and the exact same phrase appears in claim 6. So we think, for the same reasons, that is all a means plus function term, and you need to have a supporting algorithm for that function. The evidence also supports that. If you look at the specification, there's simply no disclosure of any circuitry components for performing that function.
But the specification indicates that the optimum point of grip is detected with a decrease in current corresponding to a drop in torque. And the specification explains that the current is measured by the microprocessor. Isn't it clear how the claimed invention works, and when a person of skill readily appreciate that?
The evidence does not support that, Your Honor. The evidence on that question of how a person of ordinary skill in the art would view this is really only our evidence. there's two big pieces of evidence there. Our expert, Brian Gore, submitted an unrebutted expert report on these questions. IED elected not to depose Mr. Gore or submit any contrary expert testimony of its own. So in terms of the factual questions here of whether a person of ordinary skill in the art would understand there to be sufficient structure or a sufficient algorithm, the evidence is only his evidence that there's not sufficient structure, either in the claim or in the specification. In addition, we deposed their inventor, Mr. Smith, and he corroborated much of Brian Gore's testimony. We specifically asked him whether he had any circuitry components that could determine a time when torque reaches the maximum, and he said no, he did that with an algorithm when he was trying to build the device. And then we asked him about his algorithm and said, well, walk us through these steps that you actually used when you tried to accomplish this. Those steps are not anywhere in the patent. He acknowledged, I asked him specifically whether those steps are in the patent in any form, whether source code or prose or anything, and he agreed they were not. And we talked through why those steps were used. And the reason is because if you're just looking for a decrease in torque, that doesn't tell you anything necessarily about the maximum.
Right.
And it
can go up and down, as I understand.
Yeah, so to illustrate this, Your Honor, I'd point to appendix. It's in the Gore Report, appendix 1029 and 1030. And what we have here is a couple of examples of more realistic torque curves that our expert provided in his unrebutted report. And you can see that there's big changes in the torque. You see peaks all along the way. And if you're just looking for a decrease, you're going to stop at any one of those points that has nothing to do with the algorithm. And Gore's opined that, citing technical journals, that you're always going to get these fluctuations, regardless of any averaging or anything else. You're always going to see these points of decrease along the torque curve. Therefore, you need more specific algorithm steps to allow you to accomplish that function. Those are the steps that Mr. Smith built into his undisclosed algorithm, the source code that wasn't provided in the patent. And those are the steps that are acknowledged to not be in the patent. So the evidence is just uniform that there is no algorithm to support this function. The sort of key piece, critically, this is the key piece of this invention. So this isn't an add-on feature, a well-known function. This is what they're claiming as their point of novelty, the one thing in this patent that they're saying is new. And they haven't simply taught any algorithm to carry out that function. The district court found that, we believe, as a factual matter.
Is it fair to summarize it as it's designed to get the screw as tight as it possibly can be before it reaches the stripping point?
That's one reading of the intent of the invention. I think the claims here actually talk about determining the maximum. That's one of the points I wanted to emphasize today, is that this revised function that IED is trying to argue about, determining a decrease, doesn't really align with the claimed function as it's written in the independent claims. And IED themselves acknowledged this as part of the intrinsic record in the IPR proceeding in this case, where they said,
but isn't that what they're using to describe as the algorithm, that you know it's the maximum because you determined, you've used this averaging formulas to smooth out the ups and downs, and it knows the maximum point, so the optimum point is as close to that as you can get.
That's what they're saying now. Isn't
that in the specification? It says, you know, you determine the time, or at least you're pointing to the part of the specification that the determining a time when the torque reaches the maximum is when there's a decreasing current corresponding to a drop in the torque is detected at the optimal point.
There are references in the specification to that, Ron, if you're correct.
Why isn't that last phrase that I read an algorithm? It's a pretty simple one. But
looking for
like
a decrease in torque?
Yeah.
It's detected
at the optimum point.
Correct.
Right. I mean, they've already. I understand this is done retrospectively, so it's never going to be, you know, you absolutely get to the maximum and it shuts off instantly because you can't determine it. But it's going to do, as soon as it drops off, it's going to shut it off.
Right. So, 2 points in response to that question. The first is that in the IPR, IED had a different interpretation of this function, saying it was actually about determining a point before you see any decrease. That's very clearly stated in appendix 1666. But moving on to the other part of your question, whether that's an algorithm or not, That's what our expert, Brian Gore, addressed. He said determining slope is not necessarily a simple calculation. There are multiple ways that a person of ordinary skill could attempt to do that, many of which would lead to a different result. So, for example, in the Dow chemical case, that's not a means plus function case, but it's talking about slope. And it specifically says there's multiple different ways someone could try to determine slope, and you need to have more specific steps to do that.
This all relies on your expert opinion. What if we just look at the intrinsic record and don't go to your expert?
Right. I still don't believe there's enough.
It's not clear to me that the district court actually relied on your expert or whether your expert was actually operating under the correct claim instructions.
We do think it's clear that the district court relied on our expert.
I know, but let's assume I disagree with you. What in the you're suggesting that detecting a decrease in current corresponding to the drop is not a sufficient algorithm, and the only thing that when you tell me why it's not is that your expert said it's not.
Right, and under the NOAA case, this court's held that in order to determine whether an algorithm is sufficient, it's necessary to look to extrinsic evidence like expert evidence.
Well, it's not always necessary. If the specification has an algorithm that shows steps to how to do it, then isn't that sufficient?
No, under the NOAA case, it held that if there's no algorithm in specification, that's an issue that can be decided without extrinsic evidence. If there is alleged to be an algorithm, then the question becomes whether that algorithm is sufficient. And that question is judged from the perspective of a person of ordinary skill in the art, and it's when expert testimony becomes required part of that analysis. And here we have both the testimony of Gore supporting that, as well as the testimony of Smith supporting that he needed more detailed steps that weren't disclosed as well. So both of those pieces of evidence support that. I also believe that just looking at the specification, it's an incredibly brief specification with no description of any detailed steps to carry out the function.
It's not a particularly complicated invention either. It's a screwdriver that has the steps to make sure it doesn't strip out because it, reduces or shuts the motor off after it reaches the optimum maximal value.
Respectfully, I think there is some complication there. This is a software-based patent. This is trying to accomplish finding something that's a very particular point in time. In fact, during the prosecution of these claims, the patentee argued with respect to the Thompson argument, the Thompson prior art.
So for a software patent, how much do you have to do in terms of disclosing function? Can't you just describe in a flowchart or words, these are the steps it's going to take? They don't have to provide code, do they?
They don't have to provide code. They could have done that with prose. And the amount of detail that's required is context-specific, so it depends on what the invention is.
And it doesn't have to be translated into a mathematical formula.
To be clear, with regard to that question in particular, and what the order said, I think that's a mischaracterization of the order, to say that it was requiring some sort of translation. The quote is, it remains unclear how this language can be translated into a formula from which the optimum point of grip can be detected. So they're setting forth these steps.
And are we talking about 822? Is that what you're reading from?
Yes, exactly, Appendix 22. If you're looking at these steps that they set forth that ID sets forth in their brief, those steps don't correspond to this function. And the one step that arguably relates to it at all is step 5, where they say determine a decrease in torque. The other steps are repeating other claim limitations that are unrelated to this function. And that step doesn't give you
a decrease in torque just enough. Isn't that all that's required to determine what the optimal value is?
Well, make it clear for everyone what these screws are being driven.
It depends if you're talking about the invention of IED or our accused product. I think the invention generally applies to screwdrivers of any type. Our particular accused product is a surgical screwdriver. That drives screws into the cranium to seat surgical plates. But to come back to your question,
they don't want to redo it.
Excuse me?
You don't want to redo it.
Right, you don't want to have to
the way I do it, I want to do it.
Yes.
Picture frame.
So to come back to your question, Judge Hughes, that's what I was trying to address at the beginning with the those figures from the Gore report, where they show that you've got these multiple decreases throughout the torque curve. And in order to perform the function that's claimed here of determining maximum or even anything close to maximum, you need to distinguish between what decreases in torque do I care about, which decreases get me close to the maximum, and which don't. And there's nothing in their algorithm, that their alleged algorithm, that does that. If you look at their steps, the word maximum doesn't even appear in those steps. And our experts specifically explain why, if you try to implement those steps, you'd stop way before you get anywhere close to the point of maximum torque. So we think the evidence here, regardless of the standard of review, we do think there should be deference provided to the district court's fact finding. But regardless, the evidence is the evidence. And the record here is unrebutted evidence that this algorithm that they're pointing to is not a sufficient algorithm to perform this function. Therefore, we would ask that this court's judgment be affirmed, and unless the court has any other questions, I yield the rest of my time.
Thank you.
Can you respond to his last point that we just don't know how, even if we agree that the formula is you shut this off right after it reaches the maximum, and it's okay to do it retrospectively, it still doesn't tell you how to calculate the maximum.
Well, we're determining the maximum, not calculating the maximum. We're determining that we've gone past the maximum.
Well, how do you determine whether it's a maximum? I mean, I think he's right that there's, you know, when you're doing it in, I think you agree that there are lots of ups and downs. So when do you know that you've actually reached the maximum after a down, rather than there's a down midway through to the maximum?
I think to your point is that we solve the problem with the peaks, the valleys, the ups and downs by averaging those values.
So you think it's the averaging portion that does all that, and from that you can retrospectively determine which was the maximum and right after that is the apophis.
Yes, that's the invention here, is we wanted to be able to automatically stop the screwdriver before we stripped, in a medical device case, any bone and having to re-tap a hole. It's very critical to get the optimum grip. You don't want to be too early, because if you are, then you don't have the proper grip between the material you're trying to screw. IED solved that with this invention, and therefore we don't have these peaks and valleys that we would normally have to account for. And
so that averaging thing gives you a line that actually does give you a maximum value, and you know it's a maximum value, although maybe only right after it's reached by that averaging formula.
That's correct.
Do you agree that the district court did rely on the Gore declaration?
Your Honor, that's an interesting point to make. The only two paragraphs the district court cited in one of his final sentences in his order is not on the appellate record. So the only references to the paragraph 76 and 77 of the Gore report isn't here. We don't even know what those paragraphs say at this point. There is no other mention to the Gore report.
Wait a minute. Okay, what is this? Do you want to read it or should I? Plaintiff's proposed construction is further undercut by the undisputed expert testimony of Brian Gore, who, among other things, testified that the microprocessor and so on. And he cites those two paragraphs. So he's not limiting himself to those two paragraphs, is he?
Well, I would say the district court has limited themselves to citations to those two paragraphs, which are not in the appellate record. That being said, if the district court is here relying upon that expert report, we don't know what "among other things" means. It doesn't, under rule.
The judge doesn't have to lay it all out.
No, but in critical facts underlying a specific opinion, those facts must be laid out under Rule 52.
It's supported by unrebutted facts in the declaration. You don't think that's enough? What if he hadn't said anything about anything else? Just said it's supported by unrebutted fact. Can you do that?
I would submit that would be insufficient under Rule 52 to establish a factual finding.
You said to me that when I asked you about, you made a statement, and my recollection could be wrong, but I took the statement you made as saying that the judge said he simply didn't understand the algorithm. And You referred me to page 20 at the top, where he said it's unclear, which is a different phrase. And I thought you were going somewhere else. I thought you were sort of misreading, in the sense that the judge refers around 17 at the bottom, where he talks about the PTAB review, and then saying they were unable to locate any disclosure and so on. And I thought that's where you were going when you said that. You just misspoken about who did what. But I don't take somebody saying something's unclear as saying I don't get it. Well, and that was where I'm giving you a chance to respond, because that was the question I was trying to ask you. And you said, well, look at 20.
Yes, Your Honor, and that's what we have there. It's just the district court stating that it remains unclear how this language can be translated into a formula from which the optimal point of record be detected. That, to me, that tells me that they're looking for a specific description and specification to allow for translation of a series of steps or algorithms into a formula to perform the claim function. I believe
if I went back and reviewed the transcript of your oral argument here, I think I would find you're saying, in effect, the judge didn't get it, didn't understand it. And that's why I was asking you about that, because I thought you had gone off on what PTAB had said. But to be that as it may, I wanted to give it a chance to clarify that further.
Well, unfortunately for you, time is up. So thank you. We thank both sides. The case is submitted and concludes our procedure this morning.